We welcome those who join us live via YouTube from home, and we wish you a very happy and blessed Christmas. Now, you might notice that there's something a little bit different about me today. I read some years ago that if you wear dark colours, it's very slimming. So I thought I'd try it out. But not really, that's just a way of introduction. We've been looking at some of these titles and these names attributed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I need your help to make sure I'm speaking on the right one this morning. So, which one, help me, which ones have we done so far? Everlasting Father? Tick. Mighty God? Ooh. Heatherwin said yes. Very certain. Tick. Prince of Peace? Tick. Emmanuel? No. Should we do that tonight? Are you okay with that? You do it tonight. You've got the afternoon to prepare. Okay. We'll do that. Mark will do that tonight. Okay. What about Wonderful Counselor? Oh, yeah, yes. You remember that, didn't you, Bernard? Tick. Son of God? Ooh. Difference of opinion here, Jeffrey? You've got to be at least 70 to understand that. Okay. Lamb of God? No. King of Kings? Wow. So we've done 3 out of 4 that side. Only 1 out of 4 here. Well, let's do Son of God, shall we? Let's do Son of God. Let's pray, and then let's just consider for a few moments, what does the Bible teach us about the Son of God? What does it mean, and why does it matter? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your precious word. We pray now that as we open it together, you will help us to understand it. And by your Spirit, you will help us to apply these truths to our lives. We pray that you will bless us now. Open our eyes, open our hearts so that we may understand our need of the Son of God. And we pray these things in his name and for his sake. Amen. Now, I have good news. Baby Joel's home from hospital, and he's doing really well. All the tests so far have been inconclusive, so that's great news. And so please keep on praying for baby Joel and the family. They do need to go back to Birmingham on Wednesday for one more test. So keep on praying, and God willing, he'll be home Thursday and ready for Christmas. Also, as regards to Tuesday, we would love you to join us for 15, 20 minutes around midday in the city centre. We have an open air most weeks, and the team will gather here for prayer. You want to come and pray with us at 10:30, that's great. And then we'll go up for 11:30. But we'd love you to join with us about midday, if it's dry, just to sing a few carols. And it just gives those who normally preach and speak 5 or 10 minutes just to rest their voices, and we can get as many invitations and gospel tracks out as we can whilst you're singing some carols. And we'll choose carols that won't stretch our vocal cords, and make sure that they're not too high and singable, particularly in the open air. Now, the reading we had this morning that Mark read for us is found in Luke chapter 1. And I don't know whether you've noticed, but there's a real theme developing here in Luke 1. And also, we've seen the theme also in the carols that we've been singing this morning. Now, we're considering Jesus Christ, Son of God. And, you know, when Gabriel came and told Mary that she was going to conceive and have a baby, and that she was to call him Jesus, she was quite taken aback. And basically, the angel said, look, don't be afraid. Everything's going to be okay. He's going to be the Son of the Most High. Did you see that as Mark read? That he will be called the Son, verse 32, of the Most High. Which means that he's the Son of God. The Most High is a reference to the eternal God, the one true and living God. Wow. But also, as she then says, well, okay, this this is just breathtaking. Then Mary asked a question that any young woman faced with this news would ask. How? How? She was a virgin. She had not slept with any man. How can this be? It's quite a question, isn't it? How? And the angel answered, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High, the power of God, will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And our theme in this Advent season is He shall be called. And we've been going through, haven't we, in Isaiah 9 verse 6, He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He shall be called. And here today, He shall be called, this is what Scripture teaches, He shall be called the Son of God. He is holy. And yet, she also says in Gabriel says in verse 33, that Jesus will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And His kingdom, there will be no end. And He will possess and take the throne. God will give to Him the throne of His father, David. And so immediately we are faced with, He's going to be called the Son of God, but He's also going to take the throne of His father, David. And I feel a little bit like Mary saying, how? How is this possible? Now, some weeks ago I said during preaching that we are able to interpret Scripture by comparing Scripture with Scripture. And, would you believe it, I have found two verses elsewhere in the New Testament that explains how He will take up the throne of His father David, and yet He is still the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? So turn with me to Romans, Paul's letter to the church at Rome, and we're going to read verses 3 and 4. I'm going to read it for you. Concerning His Son, this is God's Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Concerning God's Son, concerning His Son, who was descended from David. Now, in that last carol, we talked about the angelic message to the shepherds that for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And you've just sung it, that he was born of David's line. Did you see that? And all the way through, what we've sung today teaches us that he is a descendant of David's family. He's a descendant of David. And this is to fulfill something that God promised hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. On one occasion, God promised David, King David, that his son will take his throne and he will rule and reign forever. Now, of course, when we read of Solomon, it was a bit of a disaster, and his other sons and descendants, it was a bit of a disaster. By and large, most of them failed miserably. But it's a reference to Jesus, great David's greater son. And so, because Mary and Joseph were of the line of David, they went to Bethlehem, where there's a census taking place, And so it was at that time. You see, nothing with God is haphazard. Everything is done according to his plan, his purposes, and his will. And the Apostle Paul reminds us, and he reinforces the message that Gabriel gave to Mary, saying that he will be a descendant of David in the flesh. So here we have this little phrase that who was descended from David. Then we have this phrase, according to the flesh. In other words, humanly speaking, he's part of David's dynasty. Humanly speaking, he's part of that family. Humanly speaking, okay? But spiritually, he is still and always has been the Son of God. So he became a baby. He became a human being. He became a man. Do you see that? So, according to the flesh, he was made. In some translations, said he was made. But he wasn't made to be the Son of God. Because the contrast is, he was declared. Do you see that? He was made a child, but he was declared to be the Son of God. Because he's always been the Son of God. So his beginning wasn't Bethlehem. Because he's eternal. He is the eternal Son of God. Or you could say, theologically, this is absolutely spot on, he is God the Son. So he was declared to be the Son of God. Because he's always been the Son of God. But he was made, according to flesh, he was made to be a descendant of David. Hence, God fulfills his promise and his covenant with David that someone of his family, someone of his line, his lineage, would take the throne. But this will be an eternal throne. This is an eternal kingdom. And so he became flesh. The word of God, God's word, became flesh. He became a man. He became like one of us. But he was declared to be the Son of God. Do you see the difference? He's made to be a little baby. How was that? And we know, we just read it. The work of the Holy Spirit miraculously worked in the womb of Mary. And so she was able to conceive. So in that sense, that's the work of the Father working through the Spirit for the Son of God to reveal and to make known and to demonstrate and to show what God is really like. He made visible an invisible God. Isn't that wonderful? He is the Son of God. He's declared to be the Son of God. And all the way through Scripture, in the New Testament, we see very clearly that he is the Son of God. Who do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ, says Peter. The Son of the living God. The centurion at the cross. Surely, this man is the Son of God. Wow, who is he? Who is he that lies in yonder stall at whose feet the shepherds fall? It's the Lord. Oh, wondrous story. It is the Lord, the King of glory. It's the Son of God. And you can say, along with the apostles, the Son of God. Who loved me, gave his life that I might go free. The Son of God who loved me. And Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, talks and reminds about the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now he came And we sang it in our first carol, veiled in flesh. Now, what does that mean? It means that people couldn't see just by looking at him and by listening to him. They couldn't see that he was the Son of God. He was very ordinary. Isaiah tells us this. There was nothing in his appearance that attracted men to him. He's very ordinary looking. He was just like all the other boys in Nazareth. Yet there was one thing different. He was without sin. And so, go back to our little verses in Romans. Concerning his son, descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared, so he's made a child, he's declared the Son of God, because he hasn't been created. He's begotten of the Father, not created. You've sung it this morning. But look, it says here, but he was declared to be the Son of God in power, we'll come back to that in a moment, according to the Spirit of holiness. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean according to the Holy Spirit. Okay? According to the Spirit of holiness. In other words, go back to the message that Gabriel gave to Mary. He should be called holy, hyphen, the Son of God. And so the Spirit of holiness means that he was distinct from all the other boys that ran around and were playing marbles in Nazareth. If they played marbles, I have no idea. I added that. I'm sorry, Doris is gone. She'll be having me. That's not in the Bible. Very good. That's okay. Whatever games they played, okay, in Nazareth. But what was distinctive about this young boy was that he possessed a spirit of holiness. Why? Because he was the sinless Son of God. Declared to be the Son of God with power. And he was declared to be the Son of God with power through the Spirit of holiness. He was holy. He was clean. He was pure. He was distinctive from the rest of the boys in Nazareth. Now, that's what it means. And why does it matter? It matters because our eternal future and our eternal destiny is reliant on these truths. If Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, we are all in big trouble. Because that means we know that God is holy and God will he detests sin, he will judge sin. And if he's not the Son of God, then his death is in vain. Because if he is not the Son of God, that infers that he's just another man, another human being. And so his death is irrelevant if he's not the Son of God. Do you see that? So he was a man, but he's also the Son of God. He took on flesh, and yet he possessed the spirit of holiness. He became a man. He became a child. He became a baby. The work of the Father. But he was declared. Do you see the contrast? Made, declared, flesh, spirit of holiness. Now the bit about he was declared the Son of God with power through the resurrection. Now, normally, when I preach on a Sunday, where do I normally preach from? See, and I'll say this. I want you going home over your dinner saying, you didn't preach from the pulpit. And you can see me all right in the pulpit. You can hear me all right in the pulpit. And I can see you. And oh, let me tell you, I see everything from the pulpit. Those sneaky sweets being handed out. The wrappers. You do it quietly through the prayer. We're aware. We see everything from the pulpit. And I can see you. And I can hear you. Isn't that wonderful? But by coming, by leaving the pulpit, by coming, I can interact with you. Isn't that wonderful? I can come and I can just come and sit beside you. I can put a hand on your shoulder. I can welcome you in the name of Jesus. I can come and say, so good to see you. I can relate to you in a very different way. Christ Jesus left the glory of heaven so, not so he could relate to us because he's God, but we could relate to him. If he stayed in heaven, we could never relate to him because we wouldn't know what God is like. He came to show you his heart. He came to show you the heart of God. Is there anything apart from me wearing dark clothing this morning? Because I thought it might make me look slimmer. I don't think it's worked, has it? Don't answer that. Is there anything different about me? Kids, anything? No, I've not had my hair cut. That's next week. Is there anything different about me? Sorry? No tie? Really? Do you think I come and preach in Emmanuel without a tie? What do you take me for? Would you like to see? Is it there? It's there. I'll do it again. It's there. It was there all the time. And now you're feeling really guilty. For the last 40 minutes, you said he's not in the pulpit. He's not got a tie on. He's in black. This is Christmas. Where's the joy? Where's the spirit of Christmas? Out there. Because in here, we're focusing on the Son of God. Now, when Jesus lived, his glory was veiled. Now, I want to say this, and don't misunderstand me. He did amazing things. Did he? Tell me. Did he do amazing things? Yes, he did. He performed miracles. He did things that only God can do. But they still rejected him. They still rejected him as the Son of God. Now, this is why it matters. They rejected him. They accepted that, okay, I don't know how he did it. But he's turned water into wine. I don't know how he did it. He's made this guy who was born blind see. I don't know how he did it. Maybe he wasn't really born blind. Let's get his parents in. Let's ask. Was he really born blind? You know. And they couldn't explain. And they couldn't see what was staring them in the face. He's the Son of God. Now, why couldn't they see it? Why couldn't they believe it? Because even though he did miracles, and even though he taught with authority, he taught as no other rabbi could teach. His glory was veiled. And we only see the true extent of his glory through the resurrection. Declared to be the Son of God, with the Spirit of holiness, the sinless Savior died for you and for me. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and to pardon me. But after the resurrection, the extent of his glory, Mark, he was available. Thank you for coming. But his glory was revealed, the extent of his glory, through the resurrection. Now, Does it say here, through his resurrection? Does it say that? You got your Bibles? Of course you have. Was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay. In other versions, it says through the resurrection. I think the King James says through the resurrection. In other words, that because of his resurrection, that actually now the claims of who he is, Son of God, are vindicated. If he had not been raised from the dead, if he had not been raised on the third day according to Scripture, and then the debate would still be going on. But on his resurrection, the debate was put to bed once and for all. Because we've seen now something of his glory that's revealed that they've not seen before. God raises some from the dead. Resurrection. And also, all those who by faith trust in him will know resurrection to life everlasting. That the reality of his resurrection can to life, because people were raised. Of course they were. Lazarus was raised. People were raised. Jairus' daughter was raised. But do you know what happened? A little bit later they died. Because they were subject to the curse. They were subject to death and to the consequence of sin. They died. But this Lord Jesus, who is the Son of God, he died once for all who believe. And he'll never die again. And if you trust in him this morning, if you call upon his name for salvation, because he is the Son of God, he will grant you his forgiveness that will last forever. He will grant you his life that will last forever. That you will one day rule and reign with him forever. And just as he possesses the spirit of holiness, so one day in him you too will be perfected. You too will possess the spirit of holiness. Now we have the Holy Spirit now, but this talks about being declared holy as he is being declared the Son of God in power. The power of the resurrection. It took everything to a whole new level. That's why it matters. And this is what it means. The Son of God. Now, let me tell you. You can go into the city centre. You can talk to people, by and large, about Jesus. Some people say, no, not for me, thanks. But others, of other systems of belief, other systems, other religions, other systems of faith, they're quite happily talk to you about Jesus. Because many of them will say, well, he's just another bloke. He's just another man. He was a good man. He was a prophet. Yeah, he was a kind man. He taught many good things. And they hear the morals. And they see the kindness and the compassion that he had for the marginalized. For those who are the outcasts in society. But as soon as you say to many of these dear friends that he is the Son of God, they'll say, that's blasphemy. And they become really angry. So you don't want the chocolate then. You don't want the Christmas card. They get really angry. It's blasphemy. Why? Because this is the game changer. Now the word, we've got time for this, Mark. We have 1 minute. The word declares, it literally means to mark out. It's a dividing line. So if you buy a house, you want to know how much of the land is yours. And so on the plan, there's a dividing marker, there's a line, shows you. Often when the solicitor sends you the plan, he marks what is yours, what you're buying, in red. All that, within the red lines, is yours. And the word declare here is a marker. It's a dividing line. That actually, took on flesh, born of the line and lineage of David, declared, here's the marker, here's the dividing line, Son of God, in power. Ah, in other words, he is unique. He is distinct from all other men. That's what it literally means. This is the marker. So don't try and compare Jesus with other religious leaders down through the centuries. Don't try and compare Jesus with any great, eminent missionary or preacher or any pope or priest. Don't try and compare Jesus with any of these people because he's declared to be the Son of God. There's the marker. There's the dividing line. He is distinct from the rest of mankind. He was man. One man, two natures. He was a man. 100%. But he was also God. Was and is and will always be God. Declared to be the Son of God with power. And that power, and you'd think the miracles were enough, the resurrection. Only Jesus Christ can resurrect. No one else. Only Jesus Christ can resurrect. Someone who died, rose again. Resurrection, and will never die. Will live for all eternity. Takes his throne, the throne of David, this spiritual kingdom that Matthew speaks of. And he shall reign forever and ever. If I carry on much more, I'll start singing. Handel's Messiah. Had a little sing with Phil in the week. He will reign forever and ever. Why? He is declared to be the Son of God in power. That's what it means. Why does it matter? I tell you, because you could never reach out to him, but he chose to come down. He came down, 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 down. He came down for you, for you, for you. He came down. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. Is he your God? Is he your Lord? Can you say, I know Jesus, the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me? And that's the greatest Christmas present and gift anyone could ever receive. We're going to sing as we come.